This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on A People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 718-748-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with calling questions for our guests toll-free in the United States and Canada, 888-429-5471. Tonight's topic is once again of great concern to me, and as it should be for all and any American citizen, violations of our constitutional Bill of Rights, particularly the First Amendment freedom of speech. A university in Boston, Massachusetts is doing this to its students. Our guest tonight, Max Geller, he's a second year law student at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. He's a senior member of the Students for Justice in Palestine, an advocacy group for the rights of Palestinians. Recently, their group was suspended, meaning they can't meet, they can't hold activities, fundraisers, nothing of the sort on Northeastern University campus. Max, welcome to The People Speak. Can you fill us in on what's going on with the university?
I can, and let me just start off by saying it's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise.
So, we're talking about disparate treatment here. The university has treated Students for Justice in Palestine different than it's treated any other student group. No other student group has ever been subjected to the kind of discipline you described. We have been suspended, and that's following a previous round of sanctions from the university. And what we've been sanctioned for is traditional protected speech acts. We got in trouble for doing a walkout, and we got suspended for handing out, and this is a direct quote, unauthorized political flyers.
Why are they unauthorized political flyers? Can't any Republican or Democrat pass out flyers of any sort or any other group? Max, go ahead.
The university has a protocol by which you submit your flyer first and get a stamp of approval. But this policy is routinely flouted. Every Northeastern student walks by dozens upon dozens of flyers that don't have a university stamp, but the only time the university has sought to enforce this policy has been when it's Student for Justice in Palestine doing the speaking.
Is that the Israeli apartheid week? Is that what they're trying to stop?
Correct. In connection with more than 100 different Students for Justice in Palestine chapters across the country, we set out to do a week of education about the situation and the plight of Palestinian people. One of the specific things that we tried to draw attention to was the Israeli practice of home demolition. And so, citing facts that came to us exclusively from Israeli NGOs, the Israeli Committee Against Home Demolitions, we passed out flyers underneath the doors of residents, which is what's known as a mock eviction. And in order to raise awareness about the practice of home demolitions, we pretended in a really sort of obvious way that it was clearly a joke and not a real mock of real eviction. It said mock right in the title. What it's like to come home one day and find out that your existence has been criminalized in your home.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much a wake-up call for most Americans if that would happen to them. because they don't realize what's really going on. You know, here in America, we're also guilty of doing the same thing to American Indians, but, you know, we've evolved from that, and we know that in today's society, it's no longer accepted. So,
sure. I do think that I think you're absolutely right that the settler colonial practices by the Israeli government are still things that people in America deal with today. I think gentrification in our cities feels a lot like settler colonialism to me. And I think that it's really easy to sort of look outward. Our movement needs to sort of recognize that this is a global practice.
Right. So what brought you onto the scene, and what brought you into the cause, Max? Can you fill us in on that?
Sure. I mean, I think I came of political awareness during something that we all know, the dark era of the Bush administration. And as a Jewish person before Bush, I never really questioned pro-Israeli narratives. But when George W. Bush came out so strongly in favor of Israel, and I sort of thought to myself, well, I don't really agree with anything this man says. I probably don't agree with his politics about the Middle East either. I began to question the narrative. And then I moved after college to the West Bank and saw for myself just how horrible the occupation really is. And I do think that until you see the occupation with your own eyes, you can never really believe just how misinformed Americans we are as a populace until we see it for ourselves, because it's just so different than the images we see on mainstream media.
So what part of the West Bank were you staying in when you lived there?
In Jenin.
Oh, in Jenin. Okay. And was that in a Jewish settlement area, or did you live amongst?
I was living in the refugee camp. I was working with olive farmers, and I tried to respect the boycott and not have anything to do with the other side of the wall.
Oh, very good. Good for you. Because, see, the thing is, when I come out and I speak or say things against Israel and their actions, I'm automatically labeled an anti-Semite, which is, you know, of course, you know as well as I do, it's a fallacy, because I'm also a Palestinian. I'm a Semite. Second, I'm labeled a Jew basher. Third, I'm labeled an the anti-Semitism goes for all. And then the Holocaust denier, and of course every other typical insult that they can come up with and try to attack people with, they slander. And
indeed,
go ahead.
My personal experience has been much the same. Only I would throw in self-hating Jew is the one I get just as frequently as anti-Semite because of my Jewish background. But the idea of it's really painful for, as a Jewish person, to be accused of anti-Semitism for supporting Palestinian human rights. I mean, my background is my family fled Europe because of real anti-Semitism, and to label sort of supporting basic human rights as anti-Semitic belittles what real anti-Semitism looks like. And it also demonizes our point of view. And on a college campus, it's really troubling the way the pro-Palestinian point of view or Palestinian perspectives in general are demonized so they don't have to be debated. It's anathema to what my conception of the academy is, which is a place of the rigorous exchange of ideas. And for people to label what my speech as taboo is to limit the conversation to acceptable parameters for the pro-Israel camp.
Right. Well, I guess in this country that the pro-Zionist media, it's controlled by the Zionists, you know, I know, it seems like they stifle any type of free speech that is in favor of Palestine and only invites, speeches of praise towards Israel.
I mean, my school is no different. In the same the same week that my group was suspended, something called the Brandeis Center, which is a Zionist lawfare organization, was the most recent student group at the law school. So in the same week, they banned Palestinian Voices from campus. They added yet another Zionist one.
I hope you have a lawsuit against them.
We've been working with the ACLU, the Center for Constitutional Rights, and the National Lawyers Guild. We have no less than what would be called a legal dream team who have taken up our case against the school.
Awesome. 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 See, they figure they can stifle free speech and get away with it. Of course, you know, a majority of them have stifled free speech in the past through lawsuits. They put the lawyers in there, they put the judges in there, and they get away with things. So, give us your expertise on that.
Well, I think I'm just a second year law student, but the First Amendment is pretty clear, and the idea that in my school's case that they would enforce its policies only against us amounts to viewpoint discrimination, which is impermissible under the First Amendment. And I don't think the university has a leg to stand on. And I think that's why we've seen such a broad pushback. We've done direct actions to protest our suspension, and we've seen not just pro-Palestinian groups coming out in support of us, but First Amendment groups, organized labor. It's been really overwhelming, the amount of support we've gotten, and it's because this assault on free speech is so outside the norms that we as Americans have come to expect.
Well, it seems like the First Amendment and Second Amendment are under attack by the Zionists. Why would they want to do that?
I'm not sure what you mean by the Second Amendment, which is, I think, the right to bear arms.
Right. But, because we clearly see that, you know, a majority of the people that were testifying in Connecticut to, you know, after Sandy Hook were of Jewish descent that were trying to take away the Second Rights of Amendment of people there in Boston. And it's the Zionist media that's always, you know, trying to bring up the assault weapons and everything else. What would be the reason behind that?
I don't know. I mean, I think there are a lot of folks out there who limiting weapons is a liberal, a tenet of liberalism, of the Democratic Party. But we see liberal Zionism, which is sort of a contradiction in terms, and their ideas about their adherence to liberalism really breaks down because Zionism is incompatible with liberalism.
Right. Yeah, because I see that, you know, we have what's her name, Feinstein. You know, she's got her own semi-automatic weapons, but yet she wants to take away the weapons of American citizenry. But let's go back to the plight for the Palestinians that you've joined, and the human rights issues that you've observed living in the West Bank.
Sure. My experience living in Palestine was really it shook me to my very core. I saw a oppressed indigenous population being colonized, having their movement controlled, having their basic existence criminalized. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Israel exports so much of its surveillance technology, so much of its incarceration technology to the rest of the world. In 2008, the Israeli exports in homeland security to the U.S. and Europe totaled $3 billion. this is a global movement to control indigenous populations and exploit them.
Right. I hear they're doing that outside of Native American reservations here in the United States.
Indeed, and the same company that built the wall in Palestine and built the cameras on top of it built this the wall on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Right. Wow, this is absolutely amazing. What do we do? What can we do? How can we help? How can our listeners help? Join your fight in going against this university. And
I think it's important to understand that it's not just our university. I mean, no other university has taken the steps of suspending an SJP from campus. But without exception, every single SJP in America, and there are hundreds and hundreds of us, we've all dealt with suppression in one form or another. And I think it's really important for your listeners to understand that what's happening at Northeastern is indeed happening on every college campus in the country. And if you want to support the burgeoning student movement to free Palestine, which is very similar in both tactics and momentum, as you know, we're looking at 1984 and the anti-apartheid struggle. And one way that you can help is to find your local SJP at your local college campus, go to their events, and let them know that they're not alone. Because it's not just the war of ideas on campus is not between students right now. We're dealing with pressure from outside Zionist groups like the Zionist Organization of America, the Anti-Defamation League, Americans for Peace and Tolerance. There's hundreds of campus Zionist groups or groups that seek to influence what is taboo on campuses. And we need a broad-based coalition to fight back.
Yeah, that we do. We need to get the word out there. The thing is, they've conditioned people, and I mean, through the Zionist media, there's been deep conditioning of Americans. Whether it's the ploy of glorifying Israel and demonizing the Palestinians, when it should be the other way around, because the Palestinians, you know as well as I do, that's their land. That's where they've been for hundreds and thousands of years. Just like the Semitic Jews that were there, and the majority of the Palestinians were of the origin of the Judeans.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, one of the things that we found on my campus is that there is the adjunct professors. Northeastern employs 700 adjunct professors right now, and they are treated, they are denied basic workers' rights, and they seek to unionize. And the school has been really, really resistant to efforts to unionize the adjunct professors. And if, just as a school can deny the student groups their First Amendment rights to speak, they can deny the professors' First Amendment rights of assembly. And so this war against the First Amendment on campus has far-reaching effects. It affects labor, it affects social movements, it affects academic freedom.
Well, actually, they've been attacking our First Amendment all over the place, whether it's the Occupy group or any of the other groups that have been assembling to protest against what the government's doing and things of that nature. It's been going on rampant now to where they're trying to suppress free speech. I know the media suppresses a lot of it because they don't show it on TV, like, for instance, in Connecticut, where the Patriots of Connecticut marched to Washington, D.C. against the registration act that the governor is imposing on the people for them to register their weapons. they're not showing us on the media. They're not showing the situations around the world in the media. It seems
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that since our suspension and since we've been pushing back against it, I've done, and my group has done over 40 interviews, and the vast majority of these newspaper outlets and these radio stations and these TV programs, they don't cover the fact that Palestinians get their homes demolished on a regular basis. They don't cover the ethnic cleansing of Palestine, but they'll cover, I mean, so I find myself in a oddly privileged position of having my own First Amendment suppression be a news story, but the demolition of homes and the ethnic cleansing of Palestine isn't worthy. And I think that really speaks to your point.
Yep. Good. We'll be, Max, hang on real quick. We're going to go to quick break and we'll be right back with questions from our audience. We'll be right back with Don Newsom and the People Speak Radio. This is Rock Cash signing out for break.
Got questions? The library has got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBS
Radio.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
The Woody Nose Ultra Thin Nasal Filter addresses allergy problems at the source, preventing allergens from being inhaled in the first place. The Woody Nose Nasal Filter is inserted in your nostrils, practically invisible, comfortable to wear, and because of its efficient single-layer mesh design, allow easy breathing while catching dust, pollen, mold, and pet dander. There are no side effects as with medication, and it's washable and reusable. If you suffer from allergies and hate taking meds, why not give the Woody Nose Ultra Thin Nasal Filter a try? Please visit woodynose.com. That's spelled WOODYKNOWS.com.
This land
as your name.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak. This is Rock Cash with my guest, Max Geller, and our awesome engineer, Don Newsom. Max, we left off talking about the Palestinian situation. Now, the Israelis want to keep us off a right-to-return basis, so they're not willing to commit to any peace settlements. With the return of the 67 border and a right to return. What do you personally think of that?
Well, I think that just as I think it's hard to sort of swallow that as a Jewish person, even though I was born in Boston and my father was born in Boston and his father was born in Boston, I have the right anytime I want to apply for Israeli citizenship, whereas Palestinians like yourself whose parents were born in Palestine don't have the right to go to Palestine. I think that's sort of encapsulates the general unfairness of the entire situation, is that based on one's religion, they have different rights to the land. I think that runs counter to our American ideas of equality, which is regardless of your race, color or creed. I mean, we know it doesn't play out like that in reality, but this country is, its founding myth is one of equality, and Israel is one of Jewish exceptionalism that privileges the rights of Jews over non-Jews.
Right, and that's not correct anywhere. But it's not just Jews over non-Jews. It's one race of Jews over the other races of Jews. Over the other races of Jews, there's like a different supremacy structure there in Israel that I've noticed. It's not that they're just racist against just Palestinians, but they're also racist against other forms of Judaism.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I think in many ways, Israel reassembles white supremacist structures. You have white Ashkenazi Jews who control the vast majority of resources, and you have marginalized group like Ethiopian Jews or Jews who have dark skin who are, for all intents and purposes, third-class citizens, or at least second-class citizens. Palestinians are probably the third class. But there is definitely a racist structure in Israel that we can, I'm sure we could talk in depth about. I mean, the story of the Ethiopian Jewish women who were forced to receive long-term sterilization, Depo Provera, which no other Jewish group receives, is, I think, evidence of that.
Wow. Let's go to some questions from the audience. We have Alice in New York. She wants to know, how do you respond to the online articles labeling you as a terrorist supporter?
I mean, I think we need look no further than the source of those articles. There are there is an attempt by Zionist groups out there, like Americans for Peace and Tolerance and David Horowitz's Freedom Center, to demonize people who are critical of Israel. And so one way to do that is to label us as terrorists.
Right. And I have a question from Robin Los Angeles. He wants to know if you've had any or if you've received any physical threats, violence, or implied accidents that may happen to you.
Yeah, I mean, I have. It's not something I really like to talk about too much because it's creepy. But there have been people who respond in really frightening ways to the activism that I'm engaged in. And My name is out there, and I have a target on my back. And so, I mean, they have threatened me. They have threaten members of my family. It's really, I think it's important to understand that for students who spend, 50 hours a week just reading, it's easy to think of yourself in a bubble. But for Zionist groups in 2014, the campus is very much the real world. And in the real world, as you and I both know, Zionists do crazy things to silence people who disagree with them. And spreading false articles or slander about individuals is definitely a page in their playbook.
Wow. So they've threatened your family also. They've threatened members of your family.
They know, I receive emails and Facebook messages with unbelievable knowledge of my own personal life and like what my brother does with his free time that is just really sort of striking and I don't know really what else to say about it, but other than I have, as someone who is in general against mass incarceration, it seems I'm put in a difficult place because I don't want to call the police on anybody, but I am getting a series of really troubling messages from strangers out there in the world.
Well, I believe that you should report those, and if they terrorize you in any sense of the, use the law to work with you, because this is how they try to terrorize people. I mean, I've been told that they're watching me. I've been told that they'll get me. I've been told, and you know what? I can care less. I'm not going to let anybody threaten me from speaking what I feel, for one, and exposing the truth no matter where it may lie in one way or another. And if it's exposing bad people, then I'm more than happy to do the job.
Being a Jewish anti-Zionist activist, you develop a thick skin right away. I mean, I have a thick skin when I talk to members of my extended family who think I am crazy or worse, but I wasn't really prepared for the level of opprobrium that I was going to get. I wasn't really ready for people to, like, take the trouble to look up where my parents live and let me know that they know where my parents live. You know what I mean? I wasn't I didn't understand the scope of what I was up against until these articles started.
How are your parents handling this?
I mean,
they're supporting you, I hope.
Oh, definitely. My parents are red diaper, or I was the last red diaper baby, perhaps. And so my parents politically support me 100%. It's just sort of their first cousins who might think that I am a traitor or worse.
Right. Anyways, I've got a caller on the line. Mike from California, are you there?
Yes, this is Mike. I am also the producer. And I'm the one that booked Max onto the show. And the first thing that struck me about Max was that I learned that his response to the university was the one posted on the Facebook page for Northeastern University Students for Justice in Palestine. And when I read that, I said, this is a lawyer. And it was indeed Max's hand that penned that. And Max, I was wondering if you could go into details about what specifically Northeastern University has had a history of harassing, antagonizing, and trying to repress or control Students for Justice in Palestine. What was the earliest incident you remember of the university singling out your organization?
Well, we were put on probation following the walkout of an Israeli soldier event, and it's very important to understand that the Zionist group Stand With Us brought four active duty Israeli soldiers to my campus on the day in which the university observed Holocaust Remembrance Day, and to tack the sort of official university programming, to tack onto that a evening with Israeli soldiers as a Jewish person is really disgusting. I can't overstate how upsetting it is to have the Holocaust conflated with the occupation of indigenous population. It's really disgusting. And so I organized a, several dozen of us to stand up at the beginning of the event and walk out of it, which is, again, classic protected First Amendment speech. And the university acted as though we planned to disrupt a Holocaust event, which couldn't be further from the truth. And as a result of that, we were placed on probation. We were sanctioned. I mean, the university immediately capitulated to our Zionist critics, and they disciplined us. And it happened again just 2 months ago when following our eviction notices.
You know, Max, and I told you this in a private phone call, it reminds me kind of Animal House, Dean Wormer coming down on your frat. You know, I mean, it's just, it's something that is a throwback to something very, you'd imagine that happened back in the Civil Rights Movement, you know, where they're picking on this one small group of students for simply speaking out.
I agree with that analysis. I mean, I like I said to you on the phone, it's sometimes I feel like I'm the James Belushi character, and other times I feel like I'm the university, I'm the president of the frat. But it's difficult to sort of imagine another campus group being treated like this. The university deals with difficult and polarizing political issues all the time. I mean, there are pro-life students and pro-choice students who are able to engage in their educational programs without without hearing about it from the university, let alone having to pre-clear all of their actions. But the university, prior to suspending us, made us clear everything before we began. And I think that,
you know, Max, yes? One of the most disturbing parts of the harassment by the university was when they called in the police to interrogate or visit the homes.
That,
to me, was that was going over the line. Because when you call in an outside law enforcement entity, it is definitely singling out individuals or that organization. And could you explain what happened there, how the police were called in and certain members of your group were treated like they were criminals or terrorists?
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, it's important to understand that the only times the university will bang, university police will bang on your door is when you are accused of a serious act of violence. If you are accused of assaulting another student, you can expect a visit from the university police. But members of SJP received had their doors banged on at 8 a.m. and were visited at their homes for passing out flyers. And it's not like the university came to me. I mean, I would know how to deal with the police. I'm a law student. They came to our Muslim student members. They came to our non-white members first. They attacked our most vulnerable and marginalized members rather than our leadership, because they knew where to go, where they would be most vulnerable. And I think it's very important to understand what it seems like to other students who might be interested in learning about the occupation. If to the other students, if they see that the university police are taking an interest in our speech activities, they're much less likely to join us. I think it's a way of keeping Palestine out of the mainstream and on the margins.
And Max, to be specific, these members of your group, were they of Middle Eastern ethnicity?
Yes. The first two visits by the university police were of Arab and Muslim member descent.
Yeah, so that must have felt particularly, I don't know what you'd call it, not embarrassing, but like you're being treated like a criminal,
It was very scary. It was very, I didn't see it coming at all. I don't think anyone really imagined that when we were handing out our political flyers that this would become a police issue, and to have it be treated like we were being investigated for a hate crime or an act of violence is really telling about where the university is on the issue of Palestinian human rights. They think of it as a threat or a violent thing when we couldn't be more, we are advocating for nonviolent resistance. We are advocating for the boycott, divestment, and sanctioning of Israel, not the bombing of Israel. But there is no, we are a nonviolent group who has, in our mission statement, made that very clear. But they treat us as though we are criminals, and they're criminalizing the Palestinian point of view on campus.
I have a question for you, Max. This is Rock again. And my question to you is, how do you feel about the entire Israeli situation? I mean, you know, these are European Jews that are supposedly converts to the religion. All kinds of reports come out that the DNA study shows that they are not of the Semitic people of the land. But, you know, I understand a homeland for Judaism, but they're imposing their will. Go ahead. They're imposing their will on a people that have done nothing to them. So what do you think about the entire situation?
The sort of genetics of Jews is, I don't feel sort of like I'm no geneticist, and I don't, also don't think it's relevant. I'm interested not in sort of whose historic claims to land are most valid. I'm interested in what's right. And I think the sort of notion of genetic Judaism, it complicates a pretty simple issue, because if you look at the facts, it's clear that there is a brutal military occupation of one people by a military superpower. There is
Perfect.
An unarmed population and a armed heavily
population.
Armed population.
Perfect.
And it's not very complicated. There is a bullied population and a bullying population. I am always going to take the side of the bullied against the bullies, you know? I think that's it's very simple.
Amen. Amen to that, because I'm the same way. It's not because I'm of Palestinian descent, or, you know, it's not because of anything of the factor except for the bullying factor. I mean, they can all live in peace. They can all live in peace and fairness, but it seems like the bully doesn't want to be fair with anything. And how do you view it?
Yeah, I think that's consistent. I mean, I'm not interested in sort of the geopolitics of this, or I'm not interested in sort of giving a solution to a conflict that I'm not really a part of. I am interested in where my tax dollars go, and it makes me upset that my tax dollars are going to fund the ethnic cleansing of an indigenous population.
Oh, I concur with you wholeheartedly. I don't like where my tax dollars are going. Whether it's the Israelis, doing their thing in Israel, or the Americans doing their thing in Iraq or Syria, or funding the rebels in Syria, funding Al Qaeda. So, you know, this is a big wake up call for Americans. They should realize that we are radicalizing Islam, and we are paying to radicalize Islam for the agendas. And this needs to stop. It needs to stop. World domination is what it's all about, and it needs to stop.
I agree. It's the politics of empire.
Bingo. We hit the nail on a coffin. Max, please plug in your website so our listeners know where to go and read up more on you. And
Northeastern, we're at northeasternsjp.org, and we really appreciate the. It's been a real pleasure having the opportunity to talk to you guys, and I'm really glad we've had an unbelievable outpouring of support from all coasts, but California in particular has been really. We've received solidarity statements and support from. A number of Californians, and I'm sure a number of listeners. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank everybody for the support.
Oh, absolutely! Here in California, we like to support everything that is in just against humanity, and you know, we do have a lot of people here that, including American Indians, that are. Up to what's going on, and you know, whenever there's a Free Palestine movement or a march or a parade, we always get the Native Americans joining our fight and trying to stop not only apartheid but occupation, period, or colonialization. But with that being said, thanks for joining us very, very, very much, Max Keller. We will have you on again, I'm sure, in the near future to update us on what happens with the lawsuit. And I'm rooting that you guys win, beat the pants off of them. That's all we can say.
Thank you very much. We'll keep it up, I promise.
Great. Thank you very much. And don't forget to join us next week here on The People Speak. Our guest will be Robin Sky Campbell. She is a medical doctor and a natural healing doctor. So let's bring it on for next week here on The People Speak.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.